Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. This is TechNerdy Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is quite the duo here. We've got Paige and Paxton. Are we doing co-founders or do we do mother-daughter? Like, how would you like us
all
to?
All of the above. Mother-daughter duo, co-founders.
Mother, confidant. Rachel O. Williams. Daughter, Kelly O. Williams of the famous O. Williamses. First off, you guys have already been on TechNerdy stage, which is fantastic. I have to plug the fiancé, Emil Cambry, who's been on the show like five times now. He was a keynote a couple months ago. So we're keeping it very close and intimate here. But I wanted to catch up with you guys. We got Mother's Day coming up, which is key. We got mother-daughter combination here in the business world, which is rare, but I think could be potentially interesting to see how that is helped and hurt, maybe. I don't know. How does that work?
A lot more help than hurt. Yeah.
Well, she's sitting next to you. You have to see. It's like, I don't think that's going to go real well. Yeah. You're like, nah, mic off. No, but first and foremost, for those that missed you at TechNerdy, what is Paige and Paxton?
Well, I'm going to leave that to Mom since that was her idea.
As you probably know, our kids in the U.S. are far behind the rest of the world when it comes to science, technology, engineering, and math. And this is known as STEM in the education community. Now, this is actually undermining their future, but also our future as a nation. Mm-hmm. So at Paige and Paxton, we have the solution. We've actually developed a methodology to teach these very complex concepts. And we actually use these adorable puzzle piece characters to do it to kids as young as 4 years old. And so what we have is we have resources for all the major stakeholders at schools, parents, youth organizations, as well as businesses. And we've actually been doing this since 2012. And we've had some amazing success.
Yeah. So actually, since you guys, since you left us, left off with us in October of 2015 when we did pitch
I was at that, of course.
Yeah.
At that pitch.
When we did pitch at TechNerdy, we've actually seen some really amazing growth. So we've quadrupled our revenue in 2016, and we're on par to do that again
this year. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So TechNerdy was definitely very... very key part of that, and you know, getting our messaging right, and all the and the wonderful coaching that we received through that program.
Cool. I'm always happy to hear that that helps, and I also like to know that it's a great tool for startup companies to kind of get out there. And your company is actually a perfect example because you get the opportunity to meet with people who are your end user as well as an investor by default. If they've got a kid, or they or they were a kid, or they act like a kid, if they're like me, then it works out. So I guess why don't we talk a little bit, since you talked about how the revenue stream is a great proof point as to not only how much people are buying into your product, but also how well you guys are working as a duo building company as founders.
Yeah.
What was the first thing? Well, you know what? First, how did you decide on going with your mother as a co-founder or your daughter as a co-founder, depending on who asked the question?
Yeah. It's a long story, but essentially my mom, I always tell my mom she was kind of ahead of her time in that the idea of, you know, using characters, specifically puzzle piece characters, to teach kids about STEM actually came from my childhood. So when I was growing up, my mom, she had two girls, and she wanted to make sure we were really good at science and math, and so... she actually was does not have a STEM background. My mom is a journalist by training, and she actually used her journalistic abilities to do the research and then also translate that research into storytelling.
So she got that lights out joke then.
Yeah.
She got that lights out in the media joke.
Yeah. So, you know, basically as a non-STEM person, when I looked at the resources that were out there at the time, they were really boring. And that was a problem not only for Jessica and Kelly, but also for me. And so I just started using the puzzle piece characters to make the concepts a lot more fun and engaging. And to tell you the truth, like a lot of moms, I really didn't think that much about it. And then, you know, the story fast forwards 20 years later, and my youngest daughter, Jessica, she's earning a degree in biology, a minor in chemistry. She's now a third-year dental student. And at the time, she was actually involved in pipelining programs to get girls interested in science. And then she was on the math and tech end. She was working in Manhattan for American Express and J.P. Morgan Chase. And then she was also leading these awesome STEM pipelining technology programs like Black Girls Code. She was one of the founding members of that. And so actually she came to me and she said, you know what, these programs are amazing, but they all start much too late. And actually, the country was coming to that same realization. So she was like, Mom, we should brush off those puzzle piece characters, bring them back to life, and engage a whole new generation in STEM. And I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, right? But the next thing I know, she quit her job and moved home.
Yeah.
Gave you no choice. Now you have. Now we're in.
If
you ever want me to leave, we're in.
Just, full disclosure, I quit a job with a contract in hand.
But you know what? You have to take that leap of faith at some point.
Yeah, you do.
And it helps the both of you kind of buy in on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so funny you mentioned this, that like you had said to her, like, we should break these things out again. And it's like, in your mind, you're thinking like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
The reality is like school. My girlfriend's a teacher and I listen to her talk about trying to teach kids things all the time. She's a chemistry teacher.
Oh,
so she's
good.
Always trying to talk about how she's teaching kids, different things. And in my mind, like I was like, I wasn't said to have ADD, but I have ADD real bad. Like I would be in a science class as a kid and just be like, whatever, like what starts on fire? That's on fire. Okay. Like that's all it took for me. Like, break something, done. But I think with mobile devices and things like this, we've gotten to a point now where you can't even get a kid to be excited about blowing things up.
Right.
She's like in the class and we blew up balloons and things and people are like, don't care.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't put something physical in front of them at an early age, they just start sliding over to digital world. I call it the digital devices, and then you've lost them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is like literally the perfect time to reintroduce, especially at the earlier age, to reintroduce physical things to be like, that is tangible. I understand this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
What was the very first step? You had your contract in hand.
Yeah.
What was the very first step for you guys when you decided, all right, we've launched a business, we've built it. How do we make sure that we get in touch with end users? Is it parents? Is it teachers? What was as an education company, who was the first person you reached out to?
Yeah. We had a lot of trial and errors, let's just say that, in finding our product market fit. Initially, we actually started out thinking that parents would immediately want to do this with their kids. But at the time, I don't think our positioning was quite right. And when we would go out into the marketplace, the people who would come and be interested in our products were educators. So they would say, I've been looking for something at this age group to do science with our kids or to do engineering and math and all those things. And so we just listened to the market and then we started, working on focusing on that customer segment, which was school districts. And in fact, that's how we, funny enough, people always ask us, how did you get CPS as your first client? And the funny thing is, CPS actually found us. We didn't I hate to say that we weren't like super strategic, but they actually were specifically looking for materials for STEM elementary schools that they were opening up and they didn't have anything for this age range.
So we're actually, it's funny you mentioned that we're working on some stuff behind the scenes right now with CPS and in the same exact realm with helping CPS kids learn. This doesn't sound right. Learn better.
Yeah.
To actually become better at the form of education. The verdict is still yet to be determined on personalized education as the way of doing it. But I think it's a turn in the right direction to start addressing things holistically rather than just limited. Here's six kids get this and here's 10 get that. And 10 kids at that school get this and one kid at that school get it just doesn't work. So I will certainly be in touch with you to figure out how we can how we can work on stuff together, because I think what you guys are doing is absolutely fantastic. And before we head out of here, I want to kind of give you the ability to kind of plug anything that you guys are working on. Give us kind of a what's next. Give us a peek behind the veil if you could.
Yeah. One of the things that we are actually doing is we're kind of coming full circle, and because we were implementing our programs in and out of school, with schools, with youth organizations, after students were finished with our programming, their parents kept asking us, okay, what do we do next? We want to do this at home now. And so we actually started this past fall, a group called Little Learner STEM Labs. So this is a online parent community where parents get to ask, all those stupid questions that they don't feel like comfortable asking. They also get tips and advice. And we're also coaching parents through projects at home. And kind of like what you said, I think that when you hear about like STEM and tech education, it's either like kind of one or two extremes. It's either you have to be in a physical location. It has to be offered, in your neighborhood.
And if you're doing that, we recommend Blue 1647, just as a side. side note.
We are actually doing a summer program with them. And so we've actually, I'll finish what I was saying. We actually are using both of those resources of, you know, leveraging technology and also making sure that it's a very hands-on experience for the kids. And so that's what basically Little Learner STEM Labs has done. So this summer, we actually have this full summer of STEM going on. And so we are offering parents in-person activities that they can sign up for, like, you know, the traditional summer camps and intensives. We also have at-home projects they can do. So if the summer camp doesn't work for their schedule, they can still do a 3-week civil engineering project, a 2-week microbiology project.
See, I think that's such a cool deal because I think that's really one of the things that, at least I think it helped me back, was like, I probably wasn't going to do it anyway, but when I was in grade school and elementary school, I would get this the at-home stuff, and it was just like homework. It wasn't real. Right. It wasn't useful and applicable to me.
Yeah.
And the only times during my science and math career, if you want to call it that, in education, that I was really tied in was like once in elementary school, once in high school, and once in graduate school when I was with a professor who made me or a teacher who made me understand why I was using it, how I would use it.
Exactly.
Yeah, when I went home.
That's a key feature of all of our learning is relevance from the perspective of the child.
Well, that's, I think it's rooted in that. You guys built this literally of like the whole point
is
relevance.
It's all from the child's perspective,
And then the problem is that like as a teacher or someone who understands this and gets it, once you leave me, I can't really help you. Like you go home, especially if you go to a home that maybe doesn't care about education the way that we do. It's like you get there and it's like, well, this isn't relevant to me. Like, I don't even know what to do. So the fact that for those children who can't get out and can't make it to stuff, or families who can't either afford or just simply can't get their kids to you, to be able to bring something home and still have them have at least a chance to learn this is a really, it's not only is it cool and awesome, but it's a really a novel way to approach your business.
Yeah, yeah. So for parents who are interested, they can go to PageandPaxson.com/STEM Summer, and it has all the information that they need in order to sign up and check out what, you know, their child might be interested in. So it should be really great.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have a gift for you. I'm a fan of Paige and Paxton.
Nice. I'm in. I'll take
puns galore.
I'm a huge fan of Paige and Paxton. This is great. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you guys both for taking the time and coming in here. And I expect you'll be back sometime soon or on the live show on Saturday to maybe we'll set up as a to have you on the live show. Let's have you come in with one of the kids and talk about like what are you learning and watch them actually use it and get like a real a demo.
Yeah, we'll do it.
That would be awesome. We can have a fan all across the place. This is so cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us at Technori on Facebook and Twitter. Follow me at Katoon. Check out Paige and Paxton. Boom, that's a wrap.